listening to the Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast. I'm Sarah Polinchek, and I'm here with my co-host, John Summers Flanagan.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, John.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sarah. Oh, wait. We're co-hosts. I'm always here.
I'm always here, too.
I'd like to introduce our sponsors for the show. We are sponsored by the Charles Engelhard Foundation, as well as the National Parenting Education Network.
And today we're talking about step-parenting and some of the extra challenges that come along with step-parenting. So, John, you know, one of the things we want to talk about before we just jump right in there is that the landscape of relationships has changed quite a bit. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, certainly since I was young.
Yeah, long time ago.
Long time ago. Things have changed. There were not that many step-families when I was in, say, elementary school or middle school.
Right. You know, and it's hard to get exact numbers with these statistics for reasons that we don't need to go into today, but 50, 60 years ago, probably, I don't know, 5 to 10% of marriages ended in divorce, and now we know it's a lot. It's a lot more than that, closer to 40 to 50%. A lot less people are getting married and more people are cohabiting. So they're living together in lieu of marriage or before marriage. And it just creates a little more fluidity with the relationships. And yeah, and anytime we have more fluidity in relationships, we're going to have more step-parenting. So that's why we're having this talk today.
Right. And I think fluidity is one thing to think about. But also it's like, for a lot of people, it doesn't turn out to be the storybook ending and or the storybook process to love, marriage, and live happily ever after. And so it takes some different ways of thinking to deal with these new, more fluid situations.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about some of the common challenges. We, of course, won't get to all of them, but what do you think? What's a big one, John?
You know, one that comes to mind for me, and it's a natural one, so natural that I think many people experience it even though they know better. And that is, I think sometimes step-parents think or believe or wish for instant love. Instant love for the children and from the children.
Mm-hmm.
I know as a step-dad myself that I certainly wished for that. And I know I did things that made it more difficult. But the thing that's important in this message is it's not instant. It doesn't just happen. Partly because if I get together with someone who has a child already, that child has not fallen in love with me. Now, in my case, her mom fell in love with me and we got married.
Mm-hmm.
But her daughter, it took a while for her to warm up to me and to feel comfortable. And there are a lot of different reasons for that.
So what you're saying is just because you marry someone doesn't mean that the children that come into that automatically love us.
Well, and usually they don't. and they don't for a good reason, right? It's a threat. In some ways, if the children who come in and are my stepchildren, if they instantly love me, it's a big threat to the relationship that they have with their biological dad. Not just for the dad, but also inside them. They feel like they're betraying the relationship that they have with their dad. And so they can't be expected to kind of love me very soon or even like me very soon sometimes.
Right. Loyalties really get divided, right?
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. So it's hard. I mean, with any relationship, you know, if we're dating somebody and meeting, it takes time to develop and we need to recognize it might even take a lot longer for kids to love us. And there's some things we can do to help facilitate. Maybe it won't ever even be real love, right? It might not be. But you know, we can certainly do some things to facilitate more connection.
Right. I like to sort of lower the expectations from you need to love me like I'm your father, to I have a good relationship with my stepdaughter, sort of like I'd like to be thought of as almost like a favorite uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the situations are different depending on the ages
Definitely.
Of the children when the remarriage happens.
Right.
But in general, lower those expectations. Make it so that you don't expect the child to like you immediately or love you immediately, and work on having a positive relationship. Spend some quality time together, make a commitment to it, and then wait and be patient.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I think we'll jump into the next challenge, which is, gosh, how do you handle discipline when you have a new stepchild? It's a big one.
It is, because there are a lot of expectations, especially for stepfathers, but there are certainly expectations and baggage for stepmothers. Mm-hmm. But for stepfathers, there's oftentimes this expectation that I'm the man in the house and that I should... Notice my voice gets much deeper when I talk like I'm the man in the house.
Yes.
But that I should be the one setting limits and providing discipline to these unruly children. Well, that is a precarious and dangerous thing to try.
And with all the parents we've worked with, we've certainly met with many parents who say, well, now that you're in my house, you're going to follow the rules that I have, right? And is that setting up a good foundation for a strong relationship between parent and child if we expect these rules to be followed immediately?
Not at all. No. I mean, I think children need some transition time, yeah, just like they need time to come to the point where they even like you a little bit or don't mind spending time with you. And sometimes they will immediately like you a lot. And sometimes they will adjust to the transition of the new home very quickly. But I think what we're warning people about is don't expect that to go smoothly or quickly. It takes time. Mm-hmm. You know, the rules in my household may not be the rules that these kids grew up with.
Right.
Probably they did not grow up with the same rules. And I need to be patient in that area as well.
Right. Not, I'm going to repeat maybe a little hokey phrase that we say sometimes. We have a lot of hokey phrases in our, but connection before correction, right? So we want to build a foundation of a relationship with these kids before we can be disciplining or real parenting or, right?
I think that particular phrase is a clever one.
Okay.
I didn't think it was hokey. Connection
okay,
before
good.
Correction.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely true. You don't have the relationship leverage to make the, to take on the disciplinary role. Now, we also know from previous shows that discipline is about teaching people mm-hmm. what's okay and what's not okay. The part of discipline in particular that step-parents want to avoid is, in particular, punishing kinds of ways of being with the stepchildren. And in addition to that, any kind of physical discipline can be really dangerous, risky. We know that the rates of child abuse from step-parents is many, many times higher mm-hmm. than the rates from biological parents.
Right.
So be really careful. I would just say, don't do any physical discipline. Now, you can be involved in discipline as a positive role model.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who teaches the children indirectly about good ways to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do some educational things with your children or stepchildren, but stay away from any kind of punitive discipline or physical discipline. Leave, if you're going to even have that in your household, leave that to the biological parent.
Right. I think most discipline at the beginning especially can be left to the biological parent, and things that can't be, you know, I'm just thinking of an example, but let's say at your house you don't eat food in the basement and your new stepchild wants to take food down to the basement.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can still talk to those kids in a way that you might talk to one of your biological kids' friends, right? You're not going to humiliate or yell at or put in time out one of your kids' friends for breaking a rule of your house. But I might just make a joke and say, oh, we already have enough rats in the basement. We don't want food down there, right? I mean, it's just a way of stating what your rules are in a way that keeps the friendship going and the connection going. That was a weird joke, but you know what I'm saying.
No, I think that's absolutely true. The thing I might add to that is one place where the stress happens is when the stepchildren split the new partners,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So you and I get together. We got stepchildren. I have stepchildren, or mm-hmm. you have stepchildren,
mm-hmm.
right? And they will say, well, this is the way Mom let me do it.
Lots of tricky things to navigate.
So really, the issue there is, okay, now I need to open communication with you mm-hmm. or with the parents or with the children's mom
mm-hmm.
in order to work out our differences so that we're clear and on the same page and so that the kids don't have as much of a chance to split us. We need to be consistent.
Right. I think that's sort of the point of having this show, right, is that that's always important in every relationship and every family. But with step families, it's even more important that communication, that the parents are on the same page.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a big adjustment, and we can't expect for it to happen naturally, even though in the Brady Bunch.
Do you think our listeners know about the Brady Bunch?
I don't know. It's an old show.
Everybody was the same.
Everybody was happy.
Yeah.
The kids got along.
Oh,
except for some little kind of pesky things that would happen. Mischievous things. Nothing very bad.
But really, I think that show set up generations and generations of expectation that are unrealistic.
You know? Sure did.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a good role model show.
No. What's our next challenge?
Well, you know, I think time. Time is a challenge. So I come into a relationship and I have some biological children, and I'm pretty excited about my new partner. And I want to spend time with her. And so I naturally kind of neglect my children. And maybe I even let my children sort of hang out with my new partner or spouse even more than me, because I'm busy working or whatever the situation is. But when I'm in the family, I want to hang out with my new wife because I'm excited to hang out with her. And the kids feel neglected. And so we got to figure out a way to balance the time. And one thing I would recommend is that if I'm a stepdad or if I'm a biological dad and I come into a new relationship, I need to make sure that I continue to have some individual time with my biological children to help them make that transition. Now, maybe eventually I don't have to pay quite as much attention to that. But until we adjust to the new lives that we're living together, I need to make a point of spending time with my biological children to make sure that they're comfortable and know that I still love them. I have not forgotten them. I have not, in some ways, divorced them and married my new partner with great enthusiasm and just sort of leave them in the corner.
I think that's really important. It's that quality of time too, right?
Yes.
Right.
So I would think in that area, what are some new rituals that you can have as a whole family? What are some new rituals you can have as those sub-families, so that you continue to have positive bond and relationship with your biological children, and then begin to form new positive relationships through new rituals, new family activities with the new family arrangements.
Right. Good. Okay. I have another challenge.
Okay.
There's a lot of negative emotion that can come when two families get together. So remember that kids are coming to this step relationship through loss. Either their parents and their dreams of having a family, their expectations for family were ended due to a divorce or one parent died. And so they're entering into this step family through loss and a lot of change that they didn't ask for. And with that is just going to be a lot of emotion. And what do we need to do with kids expressing negative emotion?
I really think that you articulated that very well. I mean, it's loss, and it's this thing that they didn't ask for.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't necessarily want the divorce, and they didn't necessarily want the new marriage. So those are negative emotional triggers that we need to plan to work on and work through together.
And I always think the biggest thing we can do is just to validate and accept those emotions. I think to try to say, hey, this is the new family, be happy, these are nice people, it should all be great, is really so invalidating. And I don't think kids can move forward until someone says, I get it. This is hard. You have every right to be upset. And it might take a while. You don't say that once or twice or three times. It might take a year or more.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And listening to your kids and their negative emotions, so important. It reminds me of a story.
Oh, good.
I remember this one divorced parent, and this would happen often because I taught some divorced parenting classes. And they would often have goals of, I want my daughter to be able to tell me her real feelings. I want my son to be open with me about his emotions. The problem is that if they are, oftentimes it happens at midnight, when your kid won't go to sleep and they yell at you and say, I hate you, I love my mom, I wanna go live with my mom, you're terrible. And these really negative emotions start pouring out. And then the parent says, out of a hurt place, well, I hate you too, or you can just go live with your mom. And those kinds of reactive statements, really damaging.
Yeah.
And so we would sort of prepare the parents who really wanted to hear their children's emotions, that it may not be the kind of warm and loving, confiding emotions that we long for.
Mm-hmm.
They may be angry
mm-hmm.
emotions. They may be emotions that are filled with grief and sadness and loss over the divorce because they loved that other parent so much.
Yeah.
And so, working through that,
mm-hmm.
it's not a storybook.
And I like how you said prepare, because I think it's going to be hard to hear it. We want everybody to be happy and get along. And when our kid comes and says, this isn't okay for me, to really be prepared to just accept those feelings and understand them and validate them and listen to them is the key, rather than just trying to fix it and change it and question
right.
what's wrong with you that you can't just adjust.
Right. So your kid says, I hate you. I want to go back and live with my mom. You know, one of the things we would practice in these classes is to be able to say, it sounds like you're really angry and upset about mm-hmm. the way things are right now, but I want you to know I still love you.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to maintain our emotional center, even though we're getting a lot of buttons pushed.
Yeah, it's tough. So preparing is important.
Mm-hmm. Preparation.
Yeah. Any more challenges?
I think maybe it's time for our cha-ching money advice.
Really? We have advice now. That's good.
We do this every show, Sarah. You're acting surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. It's just we need lots of advice for this. This is tough stuff.
Right. And one of the things is that we could go back and summarize the fact that we got those negative emotions and
mm-hmm.
how are we going to handle those.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the instant love expectations and how are you going to handle that and
mm-hmm.
how are you going to handle the discipline situation. And I guess the one other aspect that we didn't talk about is the blended family.
Mm. John, blended family. I'm so glad you said that because you know what? I kind of like it when I get to call you out on something. We don't say blended family.
What did I do wrong?
So one of the things that's most important is that kids especially are allowed to come into a step family feeling like they're still individuals. They've got
mm-hmm.
their original family, which is their other parent and what existed before them, and they've got this new family. And to blend them together, blending works better with cooking.
Or smoothies.
Right. But blending implies that everything's just all good and new and fresh and shiny. And I think it sets up expectations for people that are going to leave them feeling like they've failed somehow. So we don't say blended family anymore. We just say step family.
I stand corrected.
Yes.
And I appreciate, I have this feeling that you really kind of, well, I guess you said it, that you like to call
me
out on things.
That's fun.
Thanks for that. So now we're ready for the cha-ching advice, and my first bit of advice is because the breakup and the new relationships are so challenging that I really think there needs to be a commitment of time. I said this a little bit already, but I'm going to be more specific. We've talked before about special time.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that biological parents need to work special time with their biological children into the new step family situation.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I didn't say blended family
You're
situation.
Good job. Mm-hmm.
So into the new step family situation, and it has to be a priority and a commitment, because part of what you want to communicate to your biological children is, I have not forgotten you, I still love you, and that special time, or sometimes we call it non-directive play,
mm-hmm.
but that kind of contact is emotionally reassuring to the children. And as a consequence, I believe, and there's some research to support it, that they will misbehave less when they've got that attention and the regular contact with the biological parent.
Mm-hmm. And many of our listeners might be thinking, well, I already spend time with my kid. But I want to refer them to your blog, John, which we'll get more specific about at the end, because there's a really good description of what special time really looks like on there. And I think it's different than just regular good quality time, which is important too. Special time is special.
It should be. And it shouldn't even happen all the time. I mean, we're talking 20 minutes twice a week.
Right.
Or maybe if you have an older child, you're going to go to lunch once a week or
mm-hmm.
something like that, so that you can maintain some close contact and intimate contact with those biological children, because they love you a ton and they're going to miss you.
Yeah. All right. So my big tip, and this is a tough one, I
mm-hmm.
think, But children, the research shows over and over again that children whose step-parents can be accepting of their biological parents do better. They thrive. If they are allowed to overtly express that they love their biological parent to their step-parent, they can do so much better. So we, you know, step-moms and step-dads out there really need to put aside any of the maybe jealousies or resentments or issues that they have with your stepchild's biological parent and just accept that they're a part of the life and always will be, because that's going to make a big difference for the outcome of every kid.
You're very smart, Sarah.
Thank you.
You know, another way I would put this is just to say being insecure is natural. Mm-hmm. And when these new relationships get formed, new marriages, stepfamilies, people will feel insecure, right? The biological dad might feel insecure and threatened by the stepdad, and vice versa.
Right.
And so to allow the children to say positive things about both parents, about all parents, is really important. And not to have that push our insecurity button too much. Sometimes kids almost do that as a test, just to see, oh, yeah, I wonder if Sarah can take it. I wonder if my mom can take it if I say that my new stepmom is so cool.
Right, right. And it's tough. I mean, we don't want to say it's easy because all those dynamics get really complicated. But those are adult issues that need to stay adult issues.
Right. Important not to react out of that insecure emotional place. And to, if you're feeling the reaction, good time to take a time out yourself.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be so cool if you could say to your new stepchild, gosh, your mom sounds really funny, or your mom sounds really, you know, interesting. If you could say something kind about that parent, not just not say bad things.
Yeah.
That would be even better, but we don't want to ask too much.
Right. Right.
Right.
Well, as somebody who is in the role of stepdad and who my daughter has a biological dad. My stepdaughter has a biological dad, and she has a good relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Boy, I do not want to say anything negative about him. That would be destructive. Mm-hmm. And in addition, what if she wants to confide in me or with me about some negative things about him?
Oh.
Ooh, that's a little dangerous too.
It is.
You got to. If she does, I just have to maintain my neutrality. I mean, she doesn't, but that's a possibility, right? And some kids will do that.
And you can see why it would be tempting for parents to go there. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more bad things about your biological dad, because I want to feel better about myself.
Right. Right. Tough stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any other tips?
Well, the other one that I had mentioned before is just, it's the be prepared thing. Mm-hmm. Be prepared for those emotional meltdowns.
Yeah.
Don't let those push your insecurity buttons as well, because you can act out in destructive ways in reaction when we get our insecurity buttons pushed. Mm-hmm. Be really careful. That's a great time to take a time out, to go talk with somebody outside of the family.
Of the unit, yes.
Yeah, so
there
I can have
a lot of really good resources for that. So I think that's a great idea.
There are. Yeah. And some of them are just our good friends, right?
Yes.
Who will listen to us and and commiserate with how challenging it is. Mm-hmm. And so that'll help to sort of re-energize us to go back in there and be a good step-parent.
Yeah. Okay, well, my final tip is just a message to all step-parents out there that just because you've married someone who has a child does not mean that you're expected to all of a sudden be an amazing gold star parent. I think that the reason we're having this show is because parenting for anybody is really, really hard. It takes a long time to get it figured out. And gosh, do we ever get it figured out?
No.
I mean, I just think on a daily basis, I'm a parent educator, and yet I have mysteries about what to do all the time. So be gentle with yourself, but do find those resources and work at it. I think that'll pay off for you in the long run. But don't expect that instant love, and don't expect to be a great parent. I think allow the relationship to develop with patience and friendship first.
Good. Have patience with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. We've got some resources.
We do.
I have one. It is titled Wisdom on Step-Parenting, How to Succeed Where Others Fail. It's by a woman named Diana Weiss Wisdom.
Mm.
So isn't that funny?
That's a great name to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Wisdom. It would be really hard to live up to it all the time.
So mine is a website, the National Step Family Resource Center online. It's really got some good resources mm-hmm. on there, and I think it points to even some local places to go for help and some support groups and things of that nature, but just lots of good stuff on there.
Cool. Yeah. And of course, you can go to johnsummersflanagan.com. Mm-hmm. I have a blog there, and I have some resources and tip sheets, including the one on special time.
Those are great. Okay. Thanks, John.
And in closing, once again, we should also thank, in addition to thanking each other, mm-hmm. we should thank the Charles Engelhardt Foundation for underwriting this broadcast, as well as the National Parenting Education Network. You can find NPEN, which is the National Parenting Education Network, online at npen.org. So, thanks for listening.
Thank you. The Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast is sponsored in part by the Charles Engelhardt Foundation, audio engineer Mike Matthews, production assistant Joey Moore, and co-hosts Sarah Polinchek and John Summers Flanagan.